The epistle to be read for the Mass on Holy Thursday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper, for everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry and another is drunk. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not, for I have received of the Lord that with also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke, and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body which shall be delivered for you, this do for commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, and discerning the body of the Lord, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. In the Holy Gospel, it is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when the supper was done, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper, laying aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girded himself, and after that he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt not have part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but to clean is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If therefore I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the epistle, St. Paul speaks about two suppers. The first supper he refers to was called the agape. Agape is a Greek word which means love or charity. The agape was thus a feast of charity. It was simply a meal where the poor and the wealthy came together in a spirit of charity and ate together at the same table after attending Mass. For you see, at this time, it was not customary for the upper-class citizens, if you will, to eat at the same table with lower-class citizens. The agape was thus established by the apostles in Jerusalem at the very dawn of Christianity, and its purpose, therefore, was to foster a fraternal charity among Christians, whether they were wealthy or poor, whether they were nobles or plain. The agape was not the holy sacrifice of the Mass, as certain modernists believed, but rather it was a supper served after the celebration of Mass. It became very popular among the Christians of Jerusalem, and it soon spread to other churches founded by the apostles. One such church was the church which St. Paul himself founded at the city of Corinth in Greece. But not long after the agape was instituted, abuses crept in and it became rather corrupt. According to St. Paul, there was eating before Mass, there was drunkenness, and the poor people were not permitted to share in the supper at the same table with the nobles, which was the purpose for even having the agape. And thus the apostle condemned it, he discouraged it among the Christians, and it was not long after that the church completely abolished the practice of the agape. But the second supper that St. Paul refers to in today's epistle is infinitely greater than the agape. It is the true charity feast, so to speak, because it is at this supper that divine charity was manifested as it had never been before to the world. St. Paul is speaking about the Last Supper on that first Holy Thursday. He then proceeds to give the Corinthians a short history of the Last Supper. His account of the Last Supper corresponds with the account contained in the Gospels. In fact, of all his epistles, it is only in this first epistle to the Corinthians that St. Paul even mentions the Last Supper. Now, he was not personally present at it, but he made it clear to the Corinthians and to us that after his conversion, Christ himself personally instructed him in the events of the Last Supper. The apostle then records those sacred words whereby our Lord empowered his apostles to consecrate bread into his body and wine into his precious blood. And giving thanks, St. Paul wrote, broke and said, take ye and eat. This is my body which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, this chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye. St. Paul then said, for as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. And by these words, my dear friends, the apostle is saying that as often as a priest consecrates the body and blood of Christ in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he makes the bloody sacrifice of Christ on Calvary really present on the altar, but in an unbloody manner. And this St. Paul says will be done until the very end of time, when the last priest on the face of the earth shall offer the very last Mass, before our Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. Today, Holy Thursday, we commemorate the institution of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and the institution of the Catholic priesthood. That is why today is so special. These three great mysteries were given to us on this day: the Mass, the Eucharist, and the priesthood. And they were given to us until the very end of time. Holy Thursday is thus a profoundly joyous day. And the Church would express her joy and her gratitude in the Mass by clothing her priests in the white vestments. White vestments symbolize joy. Violet vestments symbolize penance. But today she vests her ministers in white. She sings the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. She also prescribes since ancient times that the holy oils used in the administration of the sacraments be blessed and consecrated by the bishop on Holy Thursday. And this I will do today during the Mass. There are three kinds of holy oils, my dear people, that are used in the administration of the sacraments. They are the oil of the sick, holy chrism, and the oil of the catechumens. The oil of the sick is used in the administration of the sacrament of extreme unction. Holy chrism is used in the administration of the sacrament of confirmation. Chrism is also used at baptism. It is used at the consecration of a bishop. It is used at the consecration of altars and chalices. The oil of catechumens is used at baptisms and in the ordination of a priest. In ancient times, the holy oils were consecrated this day. And this is so because of the great number of baptisms that would take place on Holy Saturday during the ceremonies. For you see, in ancient times, it was customary that on Holy Saturday ceremonies, adult pagan converts were received into the Church. That is why on Holy Saturday, in places where there is a baptismal font, that font is solemnly blessed, and afterwards all the baptisms were done before the Litany of the Saints was chanted and the Vigil Mass of Easter was offered. But over time, the Church permitted that converts could be baptized at any time. But nonetheless, she maintained the tradition of consecrating the holy oils on Holy Thursday. And this she did to add to the joyful and solemn character of today's feast. And yet, in spite of all the joy, my dear friends, that the Church would express today, Holy Thursday is celebrated still in the shadow of a great sorrow that is to come. For as we relive the events of the Last Supper, we are ever mindful of the sad things that are to come. And by that I mean the betrayal of Judas is at hand, the apostles who declare their loyalty and their readiness to die with Christ are about to abandon him. Soon they will be asleep as he agonizes in the garden and sweats his precious blood. Soon Peter, the prince of the apostles, will deny him three times. And yet, as we read in the Gospels, in spite of all these things, in the heart of Christ there is no resentment. His love for his apostles is not diminished in the least. but rather it overflows with expressions of love and affection. As we read in the gospel today, how he tenderly washed their feet to teach them the lesson of charity. But so it must be with us too, my dear friends. In the sight of our sins, our coldness and indifference, our ingratitude, there is no resentment in the heart of Christ. His love for each and every one of us is not diminished in the least, but rather it overflows with expressions of love and affection. Our Lord has given himself to us on the cross and in the Holy Eucharist. He has given to us his eternal Father. He has given to us his earthly mother. And in this age of loss of faith and morals, we have, by his grace and mercy, the one true and unchanged Catholic faith and Catholic morals. We have then, my dear people, the Eucharistic Christ. We have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We have the sacraments, and especially we have the sacrament of holy orders, the only means to provide validly ordained priests for the future. After the Mass this morning, we will process to the altar of repose, and in doing so, we will reenact the procession of Christ and the apostles from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And at the altar of repose, we will keep watch with the abandoned Christ in Gethsemane. Let us then, with the sorrowful mother, watch and pray with the abandoned heart of Christ. That heart which so yearns for our attention, so desires our affection and gratitude, and so wishes to be loved by us with an infinite desire. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.